haven't thought of an intro for this one.
Okay.
So, anything you want me to do? Any requests? Anything? Okay, I've got one. Okay.
Oh, do some diddly doodlies like Ned would do.
That's what I was going to do. Yeah, some diddly doodlies. Okay.
Why does that sound like a really bad name for tits? Let me see your diddly doodlies.
Well, diddly welcome, everybody, to the Stupid Diddly, Sexy Diddly, Potty Diddly. It's the Stupid Sexy Podcast. Whee!
Once again, a stellar introduction.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. You're very welcome to this edition of the podcast. This week, we're doing season 14. Episode 13, A Star is Born Again. And as always, you're joined by your two co-hosts. First of all, over there, wearing a jumper, it looks like today, because it's definitely much... Oh, it's a t-shirt. There you are. There's your pits. It's Heather Anderson.
And over there, actually wearing what looks like either a thin pullover or perhaps a jumper, is Alan Irwin.
It's a long sleeve t-shirt.
Okay.
So, yes, season 14, episode 13, A Star is Born Again. Will I do the synopsis first of all then before we...
Yes, please.
Okay. Season 14, episode 13, A Star is Born Again. 3 years on from the death of his beloved wife Maud, Ned Flanders has resigned himself to a lifetime of loneliness. All that changes when he has a chance encounter with Hollywood star Sarah Sloan. Ned is immediately enraptured by Sloan's beauty, and she is smitten with his quaint normality. But when their relationship moves to a more physical plane, is Ned willing to give in to the temptations of the flesh and forgo his Christian principles?
Ooh, that was a spicy synopsis.
So, in a sentence, Heather, what do you think?
Ned isn't an interesting enough character for me to care about, and I know that there's a whole thing in the later seasons of The Simpsons where it's all about like his love life post Maud, and if it's anything like these, I don't think I'm gonna like it. I thought it was okay, it was fine, but I'm not raving about it. Like,
I loved it.
Really?
I absolutely loved it. I like, this is the best episode so far. Like, for me, I thought it was so good. But I like when we don't agree. That's exciting. You know? Why are mom and dad fighting? Because it's about The Simpsons and it matters, damn it. That's what the people want. The people want us to fight to the death.
Hit him with a chair.
Absolutely.
Like, I think that there were definitely bits of it that I was like, that's funny, that's good. But I think overall, mm-hmm. I don't like episodes that are just about Ned. I think he's fine in doses, but...
That is what it comes down to. It's like, how much do you buy into the Ned thing? And I feel like I obviously buy into it a lot more than you do. Yeah. Like, I had a lot of genuine sympathy for him. Because I think this is before... Like, my understanding is, as the seasons go on, Ned becomes more and more a parody of, like, a right-wing Christian guy.
Yeah.
While he, at least at this stage, he still has a significant amount of heart.
True, true. And a big old dick.
Well, you know what? I've got so many references to that. So we have no chalk gag to start us off.
No chalk gag.
And the couch gag was like little marionette Simpsons with Matt Groening doing the puppetry.
Yeah.
Which was all right. I thought that was okay.
Fine.
And it starts with the Simpsons are going to the beach for the day.
Yes.
Bart's beach attire was nice, I thought. That like purple shirt unbuttoned.
Yeah, he looks really cool.
Well, at the time you would have been playing GTA Vice City. He reminded me a little bit of that.
Yeah. That's the perfect way to describe it.
And in the background, they'd be like, you know, owner of a lonely heart or something.
Oh,
you know?
A tune. Is there an episode yet or in the future that we won't sing in?
Don't be fucking stupid. Don't ask stupid questions, all right?
I just wanted to bring attention to it.
Another thing I'll say is I thought there were some good songs in this episode, but we'll get into those.
Okay.
I enjoyed that Lisa is bringing Modern Sandcastle magazine to the beach.
Yeah. Bart has bad boy life.
Yeah. One of the reasons that they're running late is because Homer keeps losing his drawstring in his shorts. And I hate that about drawstrings.
It's so annoying. Comedy. I love the bit where Marge was putting the sun cream on Maggie and was just... And then...
And the hat.
Yeah. And Bart goes like, I think she needs her diaper changed. It's not happening today.
Yeah. Beautiful. Because that's what it's like when you have a child. You like coat them in... Well, I mean, I was a child. Grease. Yeah. And just be like, look... They've got this shell that's like, will protect you for life. Because, you know, I think I mentioned this in last week's episode or something like that. We were in the middle of a heat wave here in Northern Ireland. And then I read a thing about what sunburn is and it really freaked me out.
Okay.
I was operating on the assumption that I think most people are, that sunburn is literally the heat of the sun burning your skin. But that's not what it is.
Yeah.
It's radiation from the sun getting under your skin. And then... To get the radiation away from the rest of your body, your skin sheds.
Yeah.
To protect the rest of your body. That is fucking terrifying.
Yeah. The only reason I know that is because I went on like a deep dive after watching Chernobyl.
God, it was great though, wasn't it?
Oh, so good. My favourite part was, you know that bit where the guy looked like a mouldy lasagna?
Don't. I had lasagna for tea.
Yeah, but it wasn't mouldy and it wasn't a man. Lasagna man.
Well, I mean, I don't know that it wasn't at one stage a man. It was delicious. So.
I think about that tweet all the time that's like, what if lasagna was pronounced like James Cagney? See?
Lasagne?
Lasagne, see?
Oh, instead of white heat, it could be white sauce.
Yeah. Angels with 30 faces. It's still the same because they've got lasagna on themselves.
There you go. Perfect. Brilliant. That's very good. So
that's okay. Very good. Let's move on.
So they go to the beach and it turns out it's like jellyfish day or something.
Yes.
So is that a reference to something? I don't think them all loving the jellyfish. Other than Stardew Valley.
Oh, Stardew Valley.
I know. It's, for the listeners, that is one of the few things, I think, outside of The Simpsons that pop culturally we both enjoy a lot.
We enjoy a lot of things.
Like what? Kitchen Nightmares.
Kitchen Nightmares. Octodad.
Octodad, yes.
Making fun of people who aren't us.
Absolutely. Okay, no, I take it back then. We have loads in common. Ralph gets washed out to sea. Because he gets stung by a jellyfish.
And he's going to Africa.
Yeah, and he's like, I'm going to see lions and giraffes and elephants and Santa. And he thinks Santa lives in Africa.
I love Ralph so much.
I love the jellyfish song that they have at like the dance.
Yeah, that's...
Which I've written the lyrics down. They're so good. Jellyfish, along you came and right away I'm stung. Sweet words I long to whisper, but you've paralyzed my tongue. Like, that's...
That's good.
Art.
See, I feel like I really liked the episode, like, up until it became mostly about Ned.
Yeah, the first few minutes I think are really good. You've got Edna and Seymour talking about their wedding, and Seymour's like, we don't need a band. And he's got a free wedding songs cassette tape. And then he says, okay, fine, we can have a band, but no cake, because he's very cheap.
He remembers
the night he proposed as being romantic, and it was not.
No. I was going to say as well, you know the bit where Homer's trying to get Marge to dip him, and he's like, lower. Lower, hits the floor, lower. Yeah. That just reminded me of, you know, the Zap Brannigan thing from Futurama where he's getting the massage and he's like, lower, lower, yeah. That's too low, lower.
We find out that the sea captain is gay on the waves but not on land, which is good to
know.
We
love a bisexual king.
Absolutely, and we need more of them. And do you know what? Why not more location-based bisexuals?
Yeah, so, like, queer icons. Know. Queer icon. Sea captain from The Simpsons.
And then, no, I did feel sad for Ned watching everybody else dance. I would imagine in real life, if you're widowed, that's incredibly tough, right?
It must be.
But
yes.
I also kept thinking he must be roasting because everyone's in beach gear and he's still in his shirt and jumper.
Yeah.
Like, that's a lot. So Ned's very sad, so he decides, right, look, I'm just going to go and do my taxes. So he goes to the leftorium. So this did cut me when they said, marital status, and he went happily married to a dead woman. It's like, oh, Ned, what a shit way to die. Then in comes a femme fatale. I knew she was trouble the minute she walked into my leftorium. And it's a very attractive woman, like by Simpson standards.
Who was willing to fight her Marge with her hair down?
Well, see, Marge has that down-to-earth girl next door kind of quality. Like, you know, Marge is married to Homer, so she feels attainable. Like, I haven't got a willy like Ned's, you know what I mean? That's
no one does. It's always the Christian man.
Ned points out he doesn't like the flying nun, which, to be fair, nobody likes the flying nun. It's really bad. Fucking, it's amazing Sally Field came back from that because she's great.
I know.
But she shouldn't be after the flying nun. Her pseudonym is Zelda Fitzgerald, which I wouldn't say is a great.
It's not at all.
Do you think the name Zelda is a link to her past? Come on.
You're so pleased with yourself.
I really am, because I just thought of it. It wasn't written down. Look, it's not written down. Look. So.
Did he just write Sarah Sloan is hot?
A ride is what I wrote. Yes. So she reveals that she is Hollywood star Sarah Sloan.
Well, she doesn't actually reveal it. He just looks at a poster.
Oh, that's right.
And then there's that weird Irish man.
No, yeah. But he does that wee funny song where he's like, maybe I'll ask her name.
So I can pray for her properly. He can't pray without her name.
And then he goes, I've got a date with a movie star. And he goes, sure you do. And I'm going apple picking with Scooby-Doo. Really weird.
I know. I don't get it.
No, me neither. It's, I think he's been in it before.
Yeah,
it's
he's been in it loads, and I still don't get it, but it's just that apple picking with Scooby-Doo.
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 It appears that Sarah likes Ned because he doesn't know who she is, and she wants to be normal on some level. So, but Ned's worried, obviously, because he doesn't do it. So he goes and talks to Homer, and Homer assumes that he must be going on a date with Skinner's mom.
She sure knows how to swing it.
That's a horrible, horrible image.
Yeah.
Ned Flanders and Agnes Skinner.
Agnes Skinner in general, swinging it around.
Yeah.
What is she swinging? I think it means she backs that ass up.
Thick Agnes.
She's got
really
that.
Horrible.
She's packing a wagon.
Jesus.
She's dragging around a dump truck, if you know.
All right.
She's got a huge ass.
Great ass.
Great ass.
Hoo-ah. It's my union.
yes.
When the Irishman came out, I did that to you for about 6 months. Don't! I like then, so Ned isn't sure that, he says, why would that Twinkie want to go out with a ding-dong like me? Emphasis on the dong, if you understand what I'm saying.
Picking up your fire hose, you'd
slip a disc lift in that aisle, ding-dong, dongaboo. I can't remember when this happens, but there's another Arthur Miller reference. Oh, he says like celebrities, you know, they go out with other celebrities like Arthur Miller. So that's our second Arthur Miller reference of the season. So that's nice.
It is.
So he goes on a date with her. They have a nice time. Ned wants to hold hands, but what does he get, Heather?
Big old kiss, isn't it?
A big old smooch.
I'll be tasting on my mustache for a week.
Yeah, he's like, how about a month?
That made me uncomfortable.
We didn't actually say this when she first arrived, but Marissa Tomei is great in this, I think.
Yeah, she is.
Like, I think she really nailed the part. Like, and she has a lovely voice. So then, the next day, the Simpsons are chatting about it. Marge is like, oh, Sarah Sloan, she's went out with like every eligible bachelor in Hollywood. And Bart says, yeah, she's had more stars on her than Lisa's homework.
Get him, Bart.
Yeah, boom. And then Homer gets a phone call from a tabloid and says, oh yeah, she does look pregnant, doesn't she? And oh, he confirms everything. But he also thinks a tabloid is an extra strong mint.
Which I love to Trebor.
So the paparazzi turn up and they ask this brilliant question, which is, do you plan to kill Sarah like your last wife? And then when they run in and wreck the house, they go, come on, let's concoct more lies.
That was funny.
So I just love this episode. I've realized I'm looking at my notes now and being like, I'm not really saying anything bad here because I'm just like,
my only real issue with it is I just don't like episodes that have too much Ned in them.
That's fair enough.
Because like,
you're not a Ned head.
No. Oh. Even his big old dick couldn't redeem him in my eyes, and that says something.
That's good to know. You're not a size queen. Because if I was betting, I'd have said. Eh.
Oh really? Well, it's nice to.
It certainly would have explained some of your past choices.
I mean,
do you have something to tell me?
No, I don't.
Do you?
No, I've been a big slag.
I'll size Queen Anderson. The Woodwaker. There's a second. Legend of Zelda reference. Anyway, so we then go to a movie set where she's in a love scene.
The zookeeper's wife,
a big sexy man. And then Ned's like, no, we can't do this. This is, what did he call it? SpongeBob No Pants?
Yeah.
And they say, don't do a nude scene. He says, Katharine Hepburn never showed her breasts. And the director said, there's still time. And she died later that year. So yeah. She was like fucking like 80.
Apparently, because she died, the line was rewritten as Angela Lansbury never showed her breasts. So I don't know if there's different versions of the episode or something like that. Just
well, maybe
with that
there
line
is, yeah.
Differently, but Angela Lansbury.
Cheb, she wrote? I don't know. Murder, She Cheb.
I
never use the word Cheb, but I've used it about 3 times since this Zoom call started.
Yeah, and how dare you do that to Murder, She Wrote.
All right.
I fucking love Murder, She Wrote. Don't soil
Murder,
it.
Murder, She Raid. I wonder if Angela Lansbury's a size queen.
I think so. She deserves it.
Probably. I mean, that means you. She would have the luxury of being discerning.
I feel like that's going to be the clip for this week. I wonder if Angela Lansbury's a size queen.
Fair play to you, Angela. Okay, so that's 2 different questions. Is Angela Lansbury a size queen and is Jessica Fletcher a size queen? I think Angela is, but Jessica ain't.
Jessica's not, but Jessica is up for some hanky-panky.
But only with small willies.
Yeah, that's her community service for each episode.
She's a wee bit intimidated by a big one.
Don't!
So Sarah says, you know, the public may not get to see me naked, but maybe you will.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, and then he tries to think of the Bible, but then he thinks of a sexy Bible that like is threatening to reveal the pages inside.
My gosh.
Song of Songs, because it's quite a horny chapter.
Or Revelations.
Is Revelations horny?
Well, it's reveal your titties, you know?
Horny Bible.
Horny Bible.
Oh, you're doing Holy Diver?
Yeah.
Dun, diddle, dun, diddle. Horny Bible.
And the midnight sea.
I know, it's always with Dio, it's always like, ooh, I want a dragon in the ocean. It's not a sea shanty. I don't know why I did it like that. So they distract the paparazzi from the house with a scarecrow.
Yes.
Which I did enjoy.
That was
Tipsies,
fun.
Tramps and thieves. That's in the karaoke episode when they're in the Japanese restaurant, isn't it? The guy's
yeah.
like... So they're having dinner with the Simpsons and then Rainier Wolfcastle turns up, which we've had so much Rainier this season.
I know. I think that's another reason why I wasn't that fussed in the episode as well, because the only one that was missing as a recurring character was Raphael.
I know, that was devastating.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. We've seen so much of everyone who's been in that episode.
And Rainier's very upset. Sarah won't take him back and he feels my libido has been terminated.
My libido has been terminated.
That's very good. Much better than mine. But they're very deeply in love by this age. And like, one of the things Sarah likes about him is that he has a mustache, but he isn't gay. And then Ned says, oh no, I won't even eat vegetables over 2 inches long. Which is like the opposite of you.
How many rumours like, is that about me now? I eat worms.
If it's not a courgette, you're not interested. You know those ones, you know those pictures you see of like the farmers really proud of their giant carrot or whatever? I don't even need to finish the thought. So, because Sarah loves Ned, she wants him to come to Hollywood with her, which admittedly wouldn't work, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I love this fantasy where, first of all, you've got the stars on the Walk of Fame, which are
godlessness,
drug abuse, and adult situations. And then James L. Brooks turns up.
Yes, yeah.
Was it the cake with a brandy glaze?
Yeah. Apparently, you know, like after Ned says, is Jim okay? And he's like, James Brooks will do. Apparently in the credits, he's credited as Jim Brooks.
That's good. And then Rod and Todd drive past going, we're movie producers now and we're Jewish.
That really tickled you, didn't it?
The next thing that I'm going to talk about tickled me even more. Right. So first of all, Ned's like, I can't move to Hollywood. So Sarah very lovingly says, well, then I'll stay in Springfield with you. And then they're out for a drive. And Chief Wiggum tries to give his headshots to Sarah. And in the headshots are him as the Emperor of China and Eleanor Roosevelt.
Yeah, that was very funny.
And then there's one of them, just him with an eye patch. Very nice. There was another sad line as well where Ned says the last thing he bought for a woman was a casket.
Yeah, I think that's probably why I didn't like the episode, because there was so much emphasis on stuff that we've heard before. You know what I mean? Like, we're okay. All aware that Maud's dead. You don't need, like, I know it was for sympathy and stuff like that, but it annoyed me. So I was like, right, okay.
So yeah, you're just not on board with the sad man, you see.
Well, I've never lost someone that I loved to the Reaper.
Fair point.
Well, I have, but not like romantically.
So Marge invites Sarah to her book club and they're reading Bridget Jones's Diary, which they won't read because of menstrual cramps. And I think Agnes says she doesn't read it because all her friends are dead.
Oh, yeah.
Which I suppose is a good reason.
Fair. I love that Luann's is like, it's margaritas.
Yes.
Oh, she's a party girl. I think she'd be fun to drink with.
She would. Post-divorce, she's great crack, you know.
Me and her would get on like a house on fire. I love a good marg.
So we get a cameo from Helen Fielding, which was fine, I suppose. Yeah. I did enjoy the Benny Hill reference the first time.
Yeah.
Because she talks about how they just don't get the sophistication of British humour. Because Benny Hill is just like, oh, I'm going to chase a sexy lady.
Yeah, it is.
So then they're going to the... What is it called? Is it the Pops you call it? What do you call that whenever people go to the orchestra in the park?
I thought you said it was the Pops. Pops, yeah. Because it was there's that line where your top is overstaging the Pops.
Yeah,
that would be right. Because I think it's supposed to rhyme.
And, I mean, Sarah's dress. Good Lord.
My God. It's not even the sort of dress you wear in a dirty dream.
No, absolutely not. But, like, it was...
It's the illusion of nudity.
She's had them done, hasn't she?
She's a cartoon. So, yes, she's had them done. She's had them literally drawn on.
But I mean, in the world of the cartoon, she's had them done.
Definitely, but she's had her nose done.
Yes, that's true, yeah. And then, so Everybody, of course, fancies her. And, like, she ties her jacket around, which just lifts her boobs up more.
That was what I was going to say. It's a thing where I was like, do you know what? That's funny as fuck.
I liked Skinner saying, so his mom tells him off for looking at him. He's like, I'm a veteran, mother.
A veteran bedwetter.
Mother. And so Sarah's being a bit off with him, but it's because she wants to bang him.
Yeah.
Which Ned describes as premarital doodly. And then Homer with the nachos was very funny, I thought.
That was funny.
Him spilling the nachos and then looking at her tits repeatedly. Because, you know, you have to remember, he lost Marge's tits a couple of episodes ago. So he's missing a big pair of bodacious tatas.
Tig old biddies.
Tig old biddies, you love saying that.
Tig old biddies. Like big old titties, but backwards.
Are the tits backwards or just the phrase?
Both, yeah. You gotta really dig in to get the nip.
Does it come at your back?
No. I didn't really think this through.
That's fine, then we'll not probe any deeper. Which is what you would have to do. Ned's not sure what to do, so he says he's gonna talk to the big man, which turns out to be Homer. And he says, you know, he did the classic, you know, who'll buy the cow when you get the milk for free? The cow being me. And as we all know, Ned has one hell of another.
How long did it take you to think up that line? Because that's very funny.
Not that long, actually.
Oh, that's impressive.
But for being very funny, you didn't really laugh.
I laughed inside. This is a thing I've developed over time, where whenever I find something very, very funny, sometimes I'll just deadpan say, that's funny.
That's funny.
That's all it needs.
That's great. Yeah, you must be great to have in a crowd at a comedy gig.
I have a very that's funny. Good cackle.
You do, actually. You're very motivational. So Ned's like, right, I'll ride her. So did you notice when they start shifting, Sarah makes a really weird guttural noise?
She's like, she says like, yum.
Yum or something, yeah. So they have the ride and, you know, Ned's tanked, got a big willy, she's hot. I would say it was fucking class, right? Then he's like, no, we only get to have sex once. Which I think that's a weird loophole in the Bible that he's found or something.
Yeah, I think so.
Because I think, isn't it the biblical thing, isn't that you can't have sex before marriage, but once you have sex with a person, you're in the eyes of God married to them already?
I think so. It's something wild like that.
So until they die, you're still married to that person. If they then got married, they haven't done anything wrong in the eyes of God, I think. I don't really know.
It all just seems a bit like, ooh, very convenient for you, religious boy.
It's like, you know, whenever, you know, Christians, like, they ride each other's armpits or whatever, you know, so there's like, technically they're not, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or between their thighs or whatever. Or their bum. You know, some of them also do their bum. God, your face is so...
Fucking weird.
What is your precise thought when you're making that face?
It just doesn't feel good. I don't think that would be comfy. You know what I mean?
What, the armpit?
Well, the armpit for sure.
So you weren't referring to the armpit? What were you referring to?
The thighs or the butt cheeks?
I don't think it's the butt cheeks.
Hmm. Wait, what do you mean?
I think it's in.
Christians don't do anal.
Some of them do, because they think it's a loophole, when actually it's just a brown hole.
Hopefully not fucking brown.
No, not
grey.
No, but you know that
nice,
sort of,
clean grey.
Yeah, grey. You know that colour I mean.
You know that colour I mean.
So after the ride, Ned's basically like, he basically has teased her with his big willy. And he's like, wasn't that class? But if you want it again, you're going to have to get married.
Bastard man.
How do you feel about that? Because, I mean, she was willing to like give up her entire life to stay with him.
Yeah.
Does marriage still feel like a huge step in that scenario? I don't know. I think so.
Because, like, if you... Like, you know what I mean? If you want to move, you can just move. But a marriage is like, it's a lot harder to get out of.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But here, when you've got an udder like that, why would you want to get out of it? That's milk for life. Unless he gets blood pressure problems, in which case, it's just a...
Yeah, how much blood does he have in his body? Because I feel like...
Well, he's jacked, so his blood flow would probably be pretty good. Like,
But like, logistically...
I don't know.
Is he a grower? You know what I mean?
I hope for the sake of Maud and Sarah, he's a shower, because...
Like, I assumed so, but like...
Yeah, but you're hoping otherwise?
No. I don't like Ned, so...
you'd suck it up. No, sorry, that's the wrong phrase to use in this situation. That's not what I mean. I think he keeps his glasses on during sex. Did he have his glasses on after the sex with Sarah?
Yes, I think so.
That's odd. Like, as a glasses wearer, that's a nightmare.
Yeah.
Like, clammy glasses.
When you put it like that.
Fluids.
Grim.
Big coconut oily glasses.
Exotic.
Oh yes, yeah, it's the taste of the Caribbean. they break up because it's just not going to work. She goes back to Bob Balaban, who, like, do you know Bob Balaban?
No.
Like, he was in, do you remember in Friends, Phoebe's dad? He was only in one episode.
Yes.
Yeah. That's Bob Balaban, right? Bob Balaban is a sexy, sexy man. And she ends up, Sarah marries him and then divorces him 3 hours later.
Yeah.
Presumably her and Bob split up because she's had the big old wang and she's like.
Or it could be that he's Bob Balaban.
That's true. She's like, I fucking loved you as Phoebe's dad.
But not for life.
But not for life. Only for 3 hours. I like whenever Ned's out gardening and Marge and Homer are like, Homer goes, poor Ned, gardening away is misery. And Marge says, his answer's not at the bottom of a hedge. Then we close with Helen Fielding turns up with some more Benny Hill and also a gorilla, I think, as well. Yeah. There's like a weird.
The gorilla was in the first one as well.
What? I didn't notice it in the first one. Was it in the first one? Yeah. We close the closing credits have the lovely jellyfish song. So we've come to the end of the episode. We've established that you're a size queen. But have we established how you feel about this episode? Do you feel any better than when we started, or do you still think no?
Like, okay. I don't think it was bad. It's kind of on par with the rock camp one for me.
Oh God, really?
It didn't really float my boat. I just
my image.
And at least that was funny. I think the first couple.
Come on, there were funny bits in this.
In it, yes, but there was none after the jellyfish bits that I actually like. Because before, like up until the whole whenever he goes to the leftorium, there were a couple of bits where I was like I made a noise of laughter in some way. But I don't know. It just wasn't for me.
Fair enough. And there's nothing wrong with that. So what are you going to give it out of five?
Two and a half.
Well, I'm going to go with 4.5.
Oh!
So that gives it a score of 7.
Oh, shit.
I loved it. What I will say is I feel like the last couple of minutes weren't great.
Yeah.
So I thought the way it ended wasn't brilliant. But as we said earlier, I think it all comes down to how much do you sympathise and care about Ned.
Yeah. And like, don't get me wrong.
I felt like I really did.
I'm a sympathetic person and like, he's grand. It's just, he doesn't have enough funniness to carry a full episode. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I know that there are episodes of The Simpsons that are sad. Like, you know, the whole, like, Homer's triple bypass and stuff like that. They do have moments like that, but it's not the whole episode. And I think it was just too much of the one mood. That's the best way I can describe it.
I think I think you're making very valid points. I think there's anything wrong with it. I do wonder, I mean, this is just something I've just thought. Do you think maybe I care about the plot more because, like, my dad is widowed, so, like, I kind of have direct hand experience of, like, lonely man in his middle age? Do you think there's anything? I don't know if there is anything to that, but I'm just wondering.
Yeah, I guess. I'm sure a therapist would agree.
Well, actually, I have an appointment week after next, so we'll find out. I'll let you know on a future episode. So, before we go, would we agree then the episode collectively we've said is a 7 out of 10?
Mm-hmm.
But we'd say that Sarah Sloan, definite 10, easy 10.
Definite 10. And easy 10 by the sounds of things.
Absolutely. So that will do it for this week's edition of the Stupid Sexy Podcast. We've done season 14, episode 13, A Star is Born Again.
Hallelujah.
Lord have mercy. Next week, we're doing season 14, episode 14, Mr. Spritz Goes to Washington, which I believe is about Krusty running for Congress.
Oh,
political satire. Okay. Who knows what that'll be like? That could go either way,
that could really go either way.
That really could, couldn't it? We'll leave it there. We'll be back next week with another episode. I've been Alan Irwin.
And I've been Heather Anderson.
And we will see you next week. Fair diddly widdly. Well, I don't know. I can't. Do it, Ned. Goodbye.
Buenos ding dong diddly dias, senor.
A googly.
Googly.
Bye.